Did I tell you that one of the fucking kids started bongoing my butt? I thought that I got rid of that in the last class.
Bongoing your butt?
Yes.
What is God, that's never happened before.
Why does he bongo your butt?
It's a girl.
Why does she bongo your butt?
She's to my butt.
I mean, maybe she thinks you have a nice butt.
That's a weird thing to say about a child.
Yes, yeah, your episode.
Paige.
My name is Zach. You're very loud.
What episode is this?
It's 94.
94. Welcome to episode 94.
Very loud. Why is it so loud?
I don't know. I don't think I'm loud, but I'm a loud person.
Oh, it's shouting.
This episode is done. Joseph Callinger. Joseph Kalinger. Joseph Kaleidoscope.
Joseph. I need to look at my calendar to see what I did this week.
Joseph Callinger.
What did he, what's about Joseph?
It seems like we're jumping the gun right there.
Okay. How was your week?
I worked.
There has to have been more exciting things. It's been a couple weeks, actually, since we recorded last. Yeah, it's been like 3 weeks.
I've been neglectful of you. I'm sorry.
No, I've just been also lazy and neglectful of you.
That sounds about right.
I mean, it happens.
I'm used to it.
This is no longer, after 93 episodes, a weekly podcast.
Yeah.
It's just a whenever the fuck we feel like it podcast. Whenever this
happens, it's really falling apart.
I mean, and we're so close.
We're really just on three wheels right
we're
now.
We're so close to the end, too. It's like, why are we slowing down now?
Really trying to get to the finish line.
You know what? We never even acknowledged our two-year anniversary.
I know. I didn't want to say anything because I thought it would make you look like a dummy.
Actually, the entire month of July, we didn't record or release an episode at all.
Not even on the year.
No, not even. It didn't say a thing.
Oh.
It's been 2 years. We'll say it
we'll
now.
We'll cycle
been,
back to that.
It's been 2 years.
It's been two years of beer and fear.
2 years of beer and fear. We're almost at 100. We're almost done. And I am running out of spots.
You've already run out of spots. You're using a table.
Yeah. We need a house so we can have more BTS spots, more Lego spots, and I need more beer spots.
And more Mexican people.
And more Mexican
people. More Mexican people spots. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I worked. I saw my parents. They're about to go to Disney. They're worried about Hurricane Ian.
Well, I would not go to Disney. I would wait until...
Apparently Orlando's fine.
Okay.
The coast.
Still probably very rainy and unpleasant weather.
Probably. I can't think of a thing else that I've done, to be honest.
It's been like 3 weeks.
Oh, I don't do much. How you been?
I've been okay.
So sleepy.
I've worked a lot. A lot of forces, a lot of overtime. A lot of me being tired and lazy.
I went to Chicago and got a parking ticket.
Why?
That pissed me off.
See, that's what happens when you go to the city.
I fucking hate the city. This is why. And their parking tickets are outrageous.
Yeah.
$75.
Oh, my God.
Because I went in the wrong parking spot.
You got to look at
kiss
all the...
Kiss my ass, Chicago. You make enough damn money.
All the signs. Every single sign. Look where you park.
Yeah, pay me parking. I got here.
I got a warning that because I parked in the Metro parking lot. The parking lot where I picked you guys up is that parking lot. I parked there when Ali and I went to Chicago, and I came back, and I thought everything was fine. But 4 days later, I found a warning underneath my seat. I don't know, first of all, how it got in my car.
In your car?
It was in my car.
That's unsettling.
I don't think I left the windows cracked, I don't know. Maybe he like snaked it in like the side
Couldn't
of the door.
Could you have just put it in the windshield wiper?
Yeah.
Where you would have seen it?
Exactly. But no, I didn't. It was very weird,
Can you just imagine him just? Opening your car door, entering your space.
No, he probably like just crouched down and just tried to
That's even
slide
creepier.
It in the crack.
The crouching makes it worse.
There for like 8 minutes trying to get
dropping
this
a hot squat
piece of paper.
What?
No, but I didn't know that you couldn't park there. It was permit parking only. I didn't turn the video on. This happens every time. Every
in that area
goddamn
it was
time.
Park? And there was so much gold.
Yeah, no, that parking lot. I can't park there on the weekdays. Apparently, it's permit parking only. But tomorrow when we go...
It is a small parking lot.
When we go to Chicago, I can park there. I don't know...
It would make sense to me that they would need to sell permit parking there.
It's kind of dumb.
I mean, people need to go to work, I guess. Nope.
There we go. Oh, my cat's tooth was loose.
Hey, fang.
Yeah, her fang. Her big old fang.
No,
You've seen them.
Fang. I didn't say a fang.
Oh, Fang.
Fang.
It was loose. You've seen Cahsoda on Instagram if you follow us at Beer and Fear
Cast. Her big old fangs.
Yeah, she's only got one now. It fell out.
Oh, Fang. Her big old fang.
She was going to get it extracted, but it just happened to fall out. And you lost it. And we're trying to find it.
It's lost.
It's tiny and it's a bit difficult to find. So that happened. What else? Oh, Ale got a state ID.
Yeah, she showed me.
An official Illinois state identification card. Oh, we went to Festival of the Vine. Remember that?
Oh, that was terrifying.
We got Del Barrio.
So many old white people.
Yeah, it was very crowded. I think we talked about that because this day says you did a podcast episode.
Oh, we probably talked about it after we did it. Yeah. It was so claustrophobic. There were so many people.
Yeah, I was telling.
They all looked like Trump supporters.
Ali and I went to Chicago. We got Potbelly, went to an antique store.
You went to Chicago and got Potbelly?
Yeah, we got Potbelly.
Who goes to Chicago and gets Potbelly?
What was the Potbelly that I used to go to at school?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It makes more sense.
It's, memories, nostalgia. Yeah, I see. And then, we went to an antique store where Florence Welch from Florence and the Machine went to. Mm-hmm.
I forgot about her.
Mm-hmm.
I should listen to her music.
We saw Woman King. At the movie theater downtown. It was very difficult to understand that movie. And then we drove scooters back to the train station. It was very hectic because I am not good at giving directions.
No. The last time I was on a scooter, I told you about this. I was a child. I was on a sick-ass Razor scooter. And my ripped jeans, because that was the style at the time, as cool emo kid, got stuck in my Razor scooter. And
Flipped over your scooter,
and then the scooter landed on top.
I had that happen with my bike a lot of times because I had the jeans that were like frayed at the bottom because they were too long, and they get caught in the spokes.
The punk kid,
they got caught in the spokes, and I almost died one time with a bike. Yeah, what can you do? But since then, Ale's friends are here, and
hi, Ale's friends,
in La Casa, and her dad.
Super weird people.
It's been like that. Pretty much the whole time they've been here, it's kind of been like that. It's been a lot of fun. And then her dad was here for his birthday, and we got to take him out for his birthday. It was a lot of fun. We went to the Graceful Ordinary.
That sounds fancy.
It's downtown in St. Charles.
Wait, yes, you've been there before. It was the expensive place. Mm-hmm. The flower drink.
Well, it's not too expensive. It's, I feel like, okay, because we went to Catch 35.
Yeah.
With Ale's sister. I ordered crab legs that were $120.
Yeah, and they were like, a pound?
And they were like, they were okay.
We talked about how you regretted it.
Yeah. Here, the food is way better. And it's a lot cheaper. It's not cheap food, but it's a lot cheaper than Catch 35. And it's a nicer place. So, Graceful Ordinary, downtown St. Charles. It's very nice. Nice view of the river, too.
That's a great way to stay in shape.
Great way to stay in shape. That's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Our beer.
Oh, yeah, the beer. I'm so excited.
Did we do everything?
So excited to drink something.
I feel like we've been skipping a lot of stuff. Like,
well,
there's like a time we forgot to ask how each other's weeks were. There's a time we forgot to add our names. There's a time we forgot to say the episode.
The topic.
We did all that, right?
I'm
pretty sure we did all that.
Is there an episode we just skipped the beer section completely?
It would not surprise me.
we're good.
It's from Wiley Roots Brewing Company.
I'm gonna do something real quick. Hang on. Oh.
Our beer.
It's hard to hear you when you talk back.
Just say that. Just so you don't have to get in my face. I will do it for you. Wiley Roots Brewing Company.
Oh.
Well, you asked for it. Believes beer should be unique, crafted from the highest quality ingredients, and brewed with a sense of responsibility to the craft and to the surrounding community. We believe that brewing craft beer is an art. Some of these people are really just...
Well, it sounds like the same thing.
Talking out their asses.
Yeah, it sounds... Every brewery, they say the same stuff.
We're all about the community.
It's just an art form.
And that it should be grounded in the core values of honesty, integrity, hard work, and the belief in one's ability to create and share. This is just... They're all the same. We are a small, independently owned brewery with a unique focus on mixed culture, barrel-aged, and spontaneous beers in downtown Greeley, Colorado.
Oh, have we done a Colorado beer? Colorado beer yet?
Can you guys say brewery?
Brewery.
Our beers have been awarded medals at the Great American Beer Festival. In 2018, they got silver. And there's some other dates, but I don't want to read them.
Mm-hmm. Too much
Wiley Roots Brewing Company was founded by Kyle Carbow and Miranda Carbow and opened in the summer of 2013.
Ka-ka-la.
They look like siblings.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Some ginger action going on there.
Hey, hey. Can't hide those family roots. Literally.
No, we have not done a Colorado beer yet.
Our beer is Pineapple Cherry County Fair Cobbler.
Whoa. That sounds intense.
There's a lot of words. It's a fruited kettle sour. Its ABV is 7%, a bit on the high side.
Yeah.
It's got one rating and one review on Beer Advocate and a score, but 4.2 is the average score.
Okay. All right. Yeah?
Yeah, can you go get it?
Yeah.
Plez?
Jewelry.
Ah, the jewelry.
Jewelry.
My family's jewelry.
My family's jewelry.
Oh, dear. My family's jewelry.
I love that she does it. My family's jewelry. Jewelry.
There's like a bunch of these. There's a key lime one. There was a pumpkin pie one.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's like all pie kind of centered. I honestly...
Wait.
I honestly just picked it because I was like, pineapple, cherry, what?
Probably, it sounds really good.
Okay, let me explain, I'm sorry. They're going to read the beer, the brewery and everything. They're going to describe the beer and then they're going to... Shut the fuck up, I'm explaining. And then...
It's like you guys haven't even watched it before.
No, they haven't.
He totally has. That was so convincing. He said,
yes. Oh my God. You listened the first episode.
Oh, that's the worst one.
In the beginning.
In the beginning.
First of all, I like the environmentally conscious packaging.
Is that a thing?
No.
Oh, the cardboard. The cardboard. I was like, what? Yeah. This is aluminum.
The cardboard thing. Government warning.
You fucker. You son of a beach.
Brewed in can 1 pint. Sour with... pineapple, cherry, graham cracker flavor.
Isn't that interesting?
Cinnamon, vanilla, and milk sugar.
Okay.
Listos?
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to explode.
You know...
Wait.
No, listos?
Buddy, I'm ahead of you. That is all pineapple. Ooh.
Oh!
Oh! Oh! I got some on my glasses. I'm interested. Mmm.
That smells really good. There's a lot going on over there. No foam at all.
No head. So no head?
So no head?
Have you seen that vine? I think I've shown it to you.
I think so.
With the skateboard? So no head? Oh, look. No, there's a little. She's got a little.
Just a tiny little bit.
A little
baby.
That smells good as fuck, though. Pineapple cherry. Okay.
It looks like...
That's a color.
Like fruit juice?
Huh.
Like Minute Maid, like strawberry... orange juice color. It's like a weird pinkish
orange. Sometimes I think you're colorblind. That whole orange gold thing.
It's gold, okay?
That really put a lot of stuff into question.
It's green.
Salud.
Cheers.
Salud.
Okay.
I already tasted it. Too far away. Smooth as fuck.
Ooh. What the hell?
I get a lot of pineapple.
I think it's like both...
I don't get a lot of cherry.
No. I feel like they're both... The first thing I tasted was cherry. I feel like they're both there equally.
It's refreshing, though.
Yeah, it was banana.
What's banana?
Banana. You having a stroke?
I haven't tried it, but it smells like banana.
Oh, it smells like banana.
Oh, smells like banana.
Like a lot of banana?
Yeah. Hmm. Wow.
Pineapple, cherry, graham cracker flavor, cinnamon, vanilla, and milk sugar.
Secret banana.
With a hint of banana. No, it's very fruity. Mm-hmm. It's not like super intense, like fuck you up sour.
I'm trying to find the banana.
I can kind of.
I want to taste banana.
I can kind of sense it. There's hardly any carbonation in it at all. It's not my favorite sour. I like sours that are a little more fizzy and tingly. Oh. Mm. It tastes like a pineapple cherry. I've never had a pineapple cherry pie, but it tastes like a cherry pie with pineapples. I feel like I taste both fruits just evenly.
I do not.
The first thing I tasted was cherry, but pineapple's in there.
I taste pineapple.
Hmm. So I don't get a section.
No, you don't.
This episode. It's like that one episode where I did that same thing.
My connection for this is even stupider than Freedom of Speech.
Great.
Literally. Our topic is Joseph Callender, Kaleidoscope Callender. He was born Joseph Lee Brenner III. I hope to never, ever, like, experience meeting someone that's a third, a second, a junior, a senior, because you're just a copy.
Yeah, there's no originality in the name.
But I'm just like...
But also, why? Why did he changed his last name then?
I guess so.
Or he did was, he... Like, why?
I didn't get a chance to ask.
Oh.
He was born December 11th, 1935, and he died March 26th, 1996. So close to my birthday.
That is very close to your birthday, yeah.
He was an American serial killer, and he murdered three people, which honestly, how does that make you a serial killer? It's just three people.
I think it's three or more.
Is that like the classification?
Yeah. I think so.
How many people have you murdered?
Mm-hmm.
One. At least three or more. More.
Yeah. Yes.
Check mark it.
Exactly.
And he tortured four families. I don't know how that... I guess that's just information.
Okay.
And he committed these crimes with his son.
He committed these sons.
He committed these
with
sons
his, with his sins.
His crimes. His 12-year-old son, Michael.
Oh, damn.
So there isn't a lot on him because he's like a small-time serial killer. Obviously, he's killed like three people. Obviously, like murder is bad and you shouldn't be like...
Murder is bad.
Murder is bad. Put it on my tombstone. Quote of the year. but like three people.
Yeah, it's a small-time serial
killer.
He didn't
even eat them.
It wasn't that bad. It's just three people.
Callender was born on December 11th. Like I said, is he a Sagittarius?
I think so. December 11th, I think so, yeah.
December Zodiacs.
Sagittarius?
That little bitch. Mm-hmm. Never trust a Sagittarius. Jack's a Sagittarius.
That's right, he is. He's the only Sagittarius I know besides...
He's the only male Sagittarius I know.
Besides Jack Callender.
Oh, hey, I take it back.
You're Sagittarius?
Yeah. I like male Sagittarius.
Libra?
Libra.
Oh. Wait, what's your birthday?
October 5th.
It's funny. That's a day after my little sister Emily's.
Mm-hmm. Right on the edge.
That's good. Emily's. She's a good Libra.
Libra.
October Libras are the best.
They're the best Libras. Mm-hmm. They're the best.
October Scorpios are the best, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I have a coworker, Shelly.
You're a Scorpio, Cancer Scorpio. Yeah. You're a train wreck, baby.
Well, I was destined to be. That's just the way I am, Paige.
Okay? You're lucky that her signs match up with yours.
Except me. For who I am.
One in a million.
Yeah, it just, I don't know, works
no,
out.
No, you're one in a million. Oh. She's one in a trillion.
You're right. Facts.
Anyways,
John Callender.
Yeah, Kaleidoscope. He was born at a hospital in Philadelphia. Why does it matter what hospital he was born at?
It doesn't. We're not going
to
tell you.
To his dad, also Joseph Lee Brenner.
Right, because he's a
third.
But
he's a junior.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife, Judith, the Jays. In December 1937, the child was placed in foster care after his father had abandoned his mother. Ain't that a bitch?
That's shitty.
On October 15th, 1939, he was adopted by Austrian immigrants Stephen and Anna Callender.
Oh.
The Callenders.
See, that answers the question.
He was abused by both his adopted parents. So severely that at age six, he suffered a hernia inflicted by his adopted father.
Oh, my God.
I know. The punishments Callender endured included kneeling on jagged rocks, being locked inside closets, consuming excrement,
Oh,
committing self-injury, being burned with irons, being whipped with belts, and being starved. When he was 9, he was sexually assaulted by a group of neighborhood boys. This guy's had it rough.
Well, we know where the everything all started.
It doesn't justify murder.
No. No, absolutely not. But that's, you know.
What justifies murder to you? Let me ask the hard questions.
That's a good one. I'll get back down there.
Oh, okay. Smart idea. Don't put it on the internet. As a child, Callinger often rebelled against his teachers and his adoptive parents. And he dreamed of becoming a playwright. I don't know why that was the segue.
Boys got dreams.
Yeah. And had played the part of Ebenezer Scrooge just with his candle.
That's fitting.
In the YWCA's performance of A Christmas Carol in the ninth grade.
The YWCA? Like, not the YMCA?
Oh. When Callinger... He couldn't even afford it. Couldn't even afford the YMCA. That was beautiful.
It's like it was choreographed.
It was. Did you guys rehearse that? When Callinger was 15, he began dating a girl named Hilda Bergman.
Hilda Bergman.
Hilda Bergman, whom he met at a theater, which he was allowed to visit on Saturdays. His parents told him not to see her, but he married her and had 2 children with her.
Aww.
Sneaky. She later left him because of domestic violence. She suffered at his hands.
Yeah.
How sad.
It was cute for like 2 seconds.
Yeah, I know. Aw, theater camp kids.
Yeah.
He hits her. Callinger was hospitalized at St. Mary's on September 4th, 1957, due to severe headaches and loss of appetite, which doctors believed was a result of stress surrounding his divorce. Mm-hmm. Callinger remarried on April 20th, 1958, and had 5 children with his second wife. He was extremely abusive towards his family and often inflicted the same punishments on them that he suffered from his adoptive parents.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the next decade, he would spend time in and out of mental institutions for amnesia, attempted suicide, and committing arson. I didn't realize committing arson was like a mental hospital thing.
I mean, if he has a fascination for lighting buildings on fire.
What a good time. While in foster care, he was visited by his mother once a week. I forgot to mention this. It was in foster care that he developed separation anxiety. Yeah, he's got that too.
I'm sure. Just stack him on at this point.
After being released from St. Mary's Hospital, his parents told him the doctors gave him surgery to keep his bird small and make it not work.
His bird.
Bird was the word that he used for his penis.
Okay.
That got your attention. What was that?
Interesting. Why?
I don't know.
Wait, hold on. So that was his decision to do that?
No, that was his parents' decision. I forgot I had more information on his parents.
They were like, he doesn't need to have any more kids.
Don't let his penis work.
Yeah.
No, he's a child at this point.
Yeah.
Child.
Okay. We're going back in time.
This is backwards. Early 1944, Callinger was hit on the head 4 times with a hammer by his mother because he wanted to go on a field trip to the zoo. He ran into the house beating...
Damn that kid. What was he thinking?
With a hammer.
Jesus.
He ran into the house beating his head against walls and tables as his mother chased him with a broom. During the summer of the same year, he was sexually abused at knife point by a gang of older boys. A few years later, at 13 years old, he cut holes in the wall for masturbation. He used photos of both men and women. He also needed a knife nearby to achieve orgasm.
Okay.
And then he started cutting and stabbing the photos to become aroused.
This is going well.
I think this is a sign of good intentions. So that's when he's met Hilda.
Okay.
That same year, he was told by God that it was his mission to heal and save people through their feet. So he's got a holy foot fetish.
Heal them through their feet.
Save them through their feet.
Okay.
Over the next 11 years, he would conduct over 40,000 experiments on people's feet due to his vision. He would move out of his parents' home and into his own, but he continued to work as a cobbler.
A cobbler?
That's it.
No, I like it. No, that's a good one.
At his father's shop.
Okay, but a cobbler is what, actually?
Well, it's like a pastry, but a cobbler for shoes.
Right. Okay, I didn't know cobbler for shoes.
Yeah,
cobbler. That's a new word.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I only know this one.
Really?
Yep.
Oh.
Interesting.
This is the first time he ever really had friends. They really just dragged him in that. Like, this poor serial killer has no friends. Mm. He started drinking, playing pool and poker at 17 years old. He dropped out of school to marry his first wife, Hilda, had the two children, mm-hmm. left him for another man because she was being abused. Later that year, he set his own home on fire for his own amusement.
He just didn't want it anymore.
He said, this is going to be funny.
He was just bored one day.
He collected $1,600 from fire insurance. That's it? 16? For a whole house?
What year was this? 58?
He's older. This isn't like a reason.
Oh, no, okay. No, I'm sorry. He died in 96. All right.
Yeah.
I'm listening.
Are you? In the next couple of years, he would set his house on fire two more times. How is he getting covered by insurance? Like, he'll be fine this time. July 1959, he was committed to a state hospital for attempted suicide. Mm-hmm. He would have five children with his second wife. He would be extremely abusive to them. By 1972, he had six children living in his home. Two of them from his own first marriage. On January 23rd of that year, he branded his oldest daughter's thigh with a hot iron for running away. He was arrested for child abuse a week later, but was found incompetent to stand trial. He was held for 60 days for psychological examination and ultimately ruled fit to stand trial in June. Mm-hmm. He was convicted on child abuse charges, which earned him 4 years probation with the provision of mandatory psychiatric treatments.
Hmm.
By mid-1974, he was reported to be hallucinating constantly. He was holding discussions with a disembodied head called Charlie and receiving divine orders from God. The orders included demands to murder young boys and sever their genitals.
Very
odd. This guy's got issues.
Oddly specific. Oh, really?
I know.
Oddly specific.
Oh, really?
That's where the issues
start. He's fine.
Is the genitals.
These orders confided in his 13-year-old son, Michael. Why would you share that with your child?
Interesting.
Oof. Kalinger requested Michael's help with his divine orders. Michael responded with enthusiasm. He's glad to do it, Dad.
Oh, for sure.
That's a quote. He said, glad to do it, Dad.
Who needs genitals?
Yeah, not those boys. 11 days later, they murdered their first victim.
Oh, no.
Jose. He doesn't have a last name.
He didn't have a last name.
It's not listed.
Oh, it's not listed there.
A Puerto Rican youth from Philadelphia. They tortured him, then cut off his penis. I want to know what they did with it. That seems sad. He took out a $45,000 insurance policy on Joe Jr. and a younger son in July of 1974. Kalinger and Michael's second victim was his own son, Joe Fuck. Jr. His first attempt was to try to get him to back off a cliff while trying to take his photo. No, step back again.
A little more.
But there's a cliff there.
There's no more room.
Keep going.
But just keep going.
It'll be fine.
So that didn't work.
It did not. That seems really foolish.
Dang, we almost got him, son.
We were so close. While trying to take his photo, his second attempt, he took Michael and Joe with him when he was going to commit arson. He attempted to trap Joe in a burning trailer. 3 days later, he and Michael succeeded in murdering Joe. They drowned him at a demolition site. His body was recovered by authorities on August 9th, 1974. He was questioned as a murder suspect, but there wasn't enough evidence to charge him. The cause of death couldn't be determined, so the insurance company refused to honor the policy. He later admitted to drowning Joe Jr. Kalinger and Michael continued their crime spree on November. She's just going. She's zooming. On November 24th, 1974, they broke into a home in New Jersey, but no one was home. Uh-huh. They broke into a second home where Kalinger sexually abused a woman. On December 3rd, 1974, they kidnapped four women during their bridge game in, I don't even know what that is. It's a township. I don't even want to say.
In what state?
Pennsylvania, so you know it's weird.
Oh, yeah.
And stole $20,000 worth of valuables and cash. Mm-hmm. The father and son team also held Pamela J. captive in her home in Homestead, Maryland. She was forced to perform sexual acts on Kalinger at gunpoint.
Well, fuck.
I know. On January 8th, 1975, Dee Dee Romaine was at her mother's house caring for her ailing grandmother with her young son, Robert.
Her alien grandmother?
Ailing.
Oh, okay. I mean, you never know.
Oh, just checking. With her young son, Robert. While the rest of the family was out for the day, around midday, she noticed a man and a boy approaching the house. Kalinger identified himself as John Hancock, a salesman. When he asked Dee Dee if anyone else was in the house, she had an uneasy feeling. She told him to go away.
Kellinger would then then produced a chrome revolver, forcing himself into the house.
Wow.
The noise from the struggle caused Robert to enter the room. Seeing his mother struggling with a strange man, he started screaming. Kellinger pointed the gun at Robert's head and said, "This is a robbery. Do as I say, and no one will get hurt." Mm-hmm. He placed the gun in his pocket and removed a large knife. Kellinger asked again, Dee Dee asked, well, again, I just switched those words. Sometimes I'm worried I'm dyslexic.
You may be. It's okay. I'll still love you.
I don't even get it. No, you couldn't be.
There's a chance. I don't know yet.
Probably.
I mean, after 94 episodes, you've mixed up quite a few things.
You're so fucking right. Kellinger again asked Dee Dee if anyone else was in the house. She told him just her invalid grandmother. Kellinger sent Michael to confirm she was actually in a bed and unable to move. Michael confirmed that she was. I want to know how. Stand up.
I can't. All right. You're fine.
Checks out. Michael confirmed that she was. Kellinger pushed Dee Dee into a vacant bedroom where he asked for scissors. She stated she didn't know where they were. He gagged her and covered her eyes and mouth with tape, then ordered her to remove her clothes. When she refused, he removed her clothing and jewelry. He asked her if anyone else was coming home. She nodded her head. He asked her what time... This is...
Yeah.
He bound her elbows and ankles with an electrical cord. He asked Michael to check and make sure the front door was locked. He stripped Robert naked and laid him on the bed next to his mother. Then he rolled Dee Dee onto her back before forcing her legs... He sexually assaulted her. I'm just gonna...
Yeah, okay.
It turned out she was menstruating.
Okay.
So he was disgusted by that.
Okay.
Excuse me. He removed her tampon and threw it on the floor. He was just like, oh, get rid of this.
Interesting how the details here.
I know.
They got all of the story.
That's, well, oof. Shortly after, Dee Dee's sister Randy returned home. She was surprised to find the door locked. She tried to unlock it. Kellinger opened the door, dragged her inside. He put a gun to her head and told her it was a robbery. When he demanded money, she gave him $5. He pushed her into the room he had kept Dee Dee and Robert in. She started to panic when she thought they were dead. She was allowed to check on them to calm her down. He again asked for money. She told him there was some in the box on the dresser. He ordered his son to check while he made her strip. She complied when he took out his knife and wanted to know if anyone else was coming home. She replied saying, lots of people. He bound her like Dee Dee, rolled her over, and discovered she was menstruating as well. In his frustration, he cried out, what is this? The female body, bucko.
Bucko.
A while later, Edwina returned home to find her front door locked.
Okay, she wasn't kidding. A lot of people coming home.
She was accompanied by Retta and Retta's boyfriend. That's a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, there's three more coming in.
She reached forward to ring her doorbell when he opened the door with a gun. He instructed them to do as he said, and no one would be hurt. He ordered them into the living room. Edwina and Retta, yeah, on one side of the room with Frank on the other. They removed their jewelry. They bound the woman's feet. It's a lot of detail.
Everyone's menstruating.
Just checking. They both left them in the left all the people in the room to search the house for valuables. The phone rang, but it was ignored. A short while later, there was a knock at the door. Again, Kellinger went to answer it. There were raised voices before he ushered Maria inside.
Oh, my God.
Their 21-year-old neighbor. Maria was forced to lay down. He gagged Frank, that's Retta's boyfriend, before binding tape around his face and hog-tying him. He threatened to cut his penis off, too. If you move, this goes. So fucking much.
Oh, my God.
So eventually, they reached a point of running away.
Yeah.
I had to skip. I can't.
Sure.
He got careless during their getaway. He discarded a bloody shirt close to the scene. Officers were able to trace the shirt back to him. On January 17th, the Kellingers were arrested during a joint raid by federal and state authorities. 2 months later, the courts decided that Michael was delinquent but salvageable. The murder charges were dismissed in return for him pleading guilty to two counts of robbery. He was placed on probation until his 25th birthday. Kellinger's first trial in Pennsylvania ended with a hung jury in June of 1975. 3 months later, at his retrial, he was convicted on 9 felony counts and sentenced to 30 to 80 years in prison. The judge was quoted as saying, Kellinger was an evil man, utterly vile and depraved. He was convicted in October of 1976 in New Jersey for the murder of Maria. Mm-hmm. He received a mandatory life in prison sentence to run consecutively with his time in Pennsylvania. In prison, Kellinger was prone to violent outbursts. In March of 1977, Kellinger set himself on fire.
Jesus.
A month later, he assaulted a fellow inmate. Then he set his block on fire. In March of 1978, he slashed a fellow inmate's throat in an unprovoked attack. His victim managed to survive. In an interview 10 years later, Kallinger expressed his continued desire to slaughter every person on Earth. Afterwards, he wished to commit suicide and become a god. By this time, Kallinger was tried and convicted of murdering Jose and his son, Joseph Jr., which added two more consecutive life sentences to his conviction. In 1990, he was briefly transferred to Pennsylvania's Fairview State Hospital for the criminally insane after a spree of suicide attempts and religious hunger strikes. He was transferred back to State Correctional Institute at Crescent, where on March 26, 1996, he suffered a seizure where he choked to death on his own vomit in the prison infirmary.
Oh, wow.
Kind of seems like a lackluster way to die for someone that's so aggressive.
Yeah, kind of boring.
Kind of seems like. I don't know.
It's not at all imagining. Not at all how I imagine him to look
like. I know,
like.
Right?
It's very strange.
What'd you think of the beer?
It was tasty. I finished it, I think, right? No, there's more there.
They can.
I like sours that have a little more fizz and tingle to them. This one, it just drinks like a juice. It's tasty, it's fruity, it's juicy, but it's not. It's not very sour to me. It's a little more sweet than sour.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's good, but.
It's good.
It's good.
It's good.
Yeah. But. We've had a lot of sours.
We have, but that's just because it's our preference lately. We got to switch it up.
I would say it's primarily your preference, but I mean.
Yeah, it's fair. You pick a lot of random ones.
I am always.
But I'm just drawn to the interesting ones, and the interesting ones always end up being sours.
Yeah, that's fair. But I am always worried about getting a beer that you will hate because that's happened.
I want that, though.
Many. Okay, all right.
I want a visceral reaction. I want to be disgusted.
Okay. That's happened many times in the past. And I know. Sometimes my safe space, my safe spot is a sour beer.
Some of these are so gross.
Yeah. What about you?
I thought it was pretty tasty and juicy and refreshing. Sometimes I don't like the fizz because it makes me burp a lot.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just want to be able to down a beer.
It's downable.
This is chuggable. Mm-hmm. Haven't had to use that comparison in a while. I could chug it.
You can chug it.
Good pick.
Yeah. Do your thing. Do your spiel.
BeerAndFearCast.com.
Close this bitch.
BeerAndFearCast.com.
BeerAndFearCast.com. 3.95.
3.95. It's at BeerAndFearCast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
We don't do TikTok anymore.
No.
We lost all motivation for that.
We don't do Reddit anymore. No. It's just dumb. We don't do Patreon anymore. Cause who cares?
Who fucking cares?
Normally, episodes every Wednesday at noon. Normally. And all popular podcast platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, anywhere you can find podcasts. You can listen and you can watch on YouTube. And you can see Ale's friend Marlene crawling across the floor behind us and grabbing water off the table. If you watch the live episode,
you can't let him stay. It can't be dehydrated.
See it here.
Have a good day.